I don't know the validity of it. I can't vouch for it. But remember hearing the story of an old minister back in the old days, and he was traveling around ministering. He got on a train and traveled late through the day, got up into the night, cold winter's night. He went and got a hotel room and went into the hotel room and was tired and went immediately to bed. And he kept waking up in the night, shivering and cold. It was a cold winter's night. There wasn't much of any heat in the room, and it was dark and didn't have much to cover himself with, and he would shake and wish that he had something to keep him warm with. And all through the night, he would do that and wake up, and you probably know how miserable that would be to be cold. You ever was cold, real deeply cold, just wishing that you could have anything to kind of warm you up a little bit. I don't suppose there's hardly anything other than just plain pain that's more miserable than just being cold. This old minister supposedly had woke up the next morning and looked down at the foot of the bed, and there was a trunk at the foot of the bed, and on top of that trunk was a nice big thick down comforter right there at the bottom of the bed. All night long he had wallowed and wondered and wished and hoped and all those things, and just right there, just within arm's reach, was the answer to his problems. I wonder how many people have those kind of places in their life and those kind of needs. A place that maybe in a sense they're cold. Maybe in a sense they're hopeless. Maybe their dreams have been shattered. Hopes have been shattered. Don't know what to do with life. I wonder how many relationships are teetering tonight right there on that kind of a place, and how many souls are teetering right there on that kind of a place, having such needs and not realizing in the darkness, if you will, of their own lives, not really realizing that within arm's reach, very close to them, very, very close to them, is the answer to all their problems. There is a warming effect. There is a blessing so close to every one of us. This scripture in Acts, I'll start with the 22nd verse, says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" I don't know that I understand the whole scene of this, but I think that the understanding that is here is that the people of Athens worshiped many, many gods. And they were so particular in their devotions to the worshiping of these gods. They had many gods. I think they had gods that of the sun, of the moon, and they wanted to make sure that they had covered every aspect of any kind of power or authority that could be out there that they recognized in life and in around them, forces that they saw in that they wanted to make sure that they paid the right kind of homage to that God so that they'd be in favor to it, that they come up with the idea that just in case, and my understanding may not be totally accurate here, but this is the way I believe I understand it, that they made this inscription to this to almost like saying, begging our pardon if we don't recognize you. We're ignorant of it, but if you exist, we want you to know that we're concerned about that, and we're going to make our offerings to you, not even knowing how to label you, but we'll make offerings to you. And that's why Paul said, "I perceive in all things you all are too superstitious. You're going to these kind of a degree. You're going to a great degree here to take care of these things. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that you would go to that kind of thing. But of this that you ignorantly of worshiping, let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you about the one that you are ignorant about, because you're in all things too superstitious. You got it all together wrong. I think Paul was endowed at this point with a great boldness to speak to the men of Athens. And he was then able, he took a great opportunity here with something he saw to be able to start to touch these people with something. God would tonight that you and I understand what He's really about. What He's really here to do. We will never in our human understanding understand the ins and outs of God. But there are some things God wants us to understand about Him. One thing God wants us to understand about Him is that He's accessible tonight. He's accessible, and that there isn't a human condition that what He can't meet tonight. And the only thing that stands between us and this blessing of God is our willingness to reach and get it. He has made it. He's offered it to you tonight. Whatever the need, your need is, whatever the place is, do you know God cares about all of it? Oh, I think too often, if we're not careful, we'll make categories that God's interested in and categories that He's not interested in. I appreciated an old brother. He's gone now. He passed away over a year ago now. It was in our congregation, Brother Jim White. Some of you knew him. Precious, precious brother. One of the things that he left in my thinking is that God's not too big to care about your little things. The testimonies that he had to us about God, sometimes it was big things, sure, about how God healed him and met him and done different things with him. But you know, more than often, it was about a humble, simple man calling on God to help this poor old man find his car keys. It was about a poor old man that couldn't remember how to do things in his life, that he would call on God and he would testify to us that when he did, that God would meet him there and help him with it. He would come to service sometimes on Wednesday nights and tell us, make a prayer request, would you pray? I've lost my checkbook again. And he said, I've looked the house over and I can't find it. I don't know if I've lost it out somewhere or not. And his conclusion was always, I don't know, but God does. God knows where it's at. Then the next time he'd come, he'd want to stand up and make a testimony about God helping him find his checkbook. And oh, I remember the one he was talking about, and he said, oh, he said, I was there, and I'd been praying about this, and I was sitting in the chair, and the Lord spoke and said, you didn't look in beside the chair. And he thought, no, Lord, I didn't. And he got down beside the chair. There was his checkbook. And he said, thank you, Lord, for helping me to find my checkbook. God's not too big. He's not too big. If we're not careful, we think God's only in the big things. I want to tell you tonight, God's in the little things. And it's just like the old minister going all night long, suffering that situation when right there was the answer to his problems, but he couldn't see it. You know how often I hear a news report, how often somebody will testify, so how often somebody will bring a prayer request into the congregation, and immediately I'll say, I know the answer to that problem. How often somebody will say, would you pray for my children? They're about to get into a divorce situation and the family's breaking up. Would you pray for them? And right off, I say, I know the answer to their problem. I can see through. I can see through the haze and the darkness of this world. I can see all through that. And by faith, I can see what would happen to a young couple if they would humble themselves and reach. Just reach for God. Say, Lord, we're not capable in ourselves. Lord, would you help us in this life? Lord, would we begin to change and alter and make something great out of something that was bad? Because that's what God does. Tonight, the Lord wants us to understand, to every one of us, we say, yes, God is in heaven. Scripture says He is. He inhabits eternity. That's God. But He's also right close to every one of us too. He's right there for you and I to contact, to reach, to communicate with. He desires that tonight. God's desiring it. So Paul here in this comes to these people and they have an inscription, an unknown God. Have you ever looked at God as an unknown God? I don't know what He's up to. I don't know what He's doing. Paul wants to tell these people about God, the real God. So he begins to tell them, God that made the world. Now I'm going to tell you, he's getting right with it now. I don't know that ever in the history of these Grecians, I remember the Greek mythology, Zeus being the king of gods or something like that, and you had all your other gods and all these things. Well, I don't know any of them that claim that they made everything, but here comes Paul and says, the God that you want, this is important to us. The Scripture says that you must first believe that He is. You must believe that He is. That is the key to our beginning of our faith tonight. Is God is. If He is, He's what He said He is. If He is in existence, He did create the world and all that's in it. Can you imagine? Can you really take in tonight what it means that God, that's for us, really did create everything that was created? What kind of a being are we dealing with then? Absolutely awesome. Beyond our thinking, this God that has said to us, think of this, that He loves us. I've used this illustration many, many times, but it's the way my mind works, so if you'll give me liberty to try to explain tonight what the love of God really means in its bigness and what it really means for us as us being able to access it. Because God's love is why we can access Him. It's why we can get to Him. Because He loves us. I look at it this way in my feeble little mind. I live in a place that's called Green Bank, West Virginia. Many of you have been there. Don't amount to a whole lot. If you go through the whole thing, we have a post office that sits on the corner. Just recently, a year ago, October, late September, we got a Dollar General in Green Bank. Now, I want to tell you what. You talk about a big event in Green Bank. Major event. I know you think it's laughable, but I'm telling you, it was a major event in Green Bank to get a Dollar General. For a while, they was calling it the Green Bank Mall. If you want to see somebody, the parking lot was filled almost the whole time. People was going, they said at one point that was the number one Dollar General in the whole area, in the whole state, I think it was, they were saying. Because it come into that area, nobody had that. We knew what a Dollar General was. But the very thing coming into Green Bank was major. So it shows you how little Green Bank is. Now I live on 5/8 of an acre in Green Bank. I'm telling you, I don't take up much space on that 5/8 of an acre. I take up a little old space on it anytime, wherever. I'm telling you how small I am to my little property. I can lose myself in the house. I mean, I'm not very mountain much. And my little property is really small compared to Green Bank. And Green Bank is really, really small in Pocahontas County. It's not very big at all in Pocahontas County. And Pocahontas County doesn't take up a lot of West Virginia. It's small. West Virginia is not a big state in the United States. It's a small state in the United States. And the United States don't take up a whole lot of room in the world. And the world, our whole world, don't take up much space in our solar system. It's really very, very, very small in our solar system. And our solar system isn't even hardly the smallest of blips in the Milky Way galaxy. It's hardly unnoticeable if you can stand back and look at it. And our Milky Way galaxy is one of millions of galaxies. And it's a small one at that. And then there's millions of them that fan their way, according to scientists, across the universe. And I say to you tonight, God created all that in 6 days. Did He exhaust Himself in 6 days? And the Scripture says, God is love. Now that brings to my mind something that's totally awesome to me to think about. This is a real God. This is something to deal with here. And the love that He has is greater than His creation is. Because He didn't exhaust Himself in that. He definitely never exhausted Himself in His love. And He makes Himself accessible. So why should we not take advantage of that comforter, so to speak, that lays at the bottom of the bed when I feel the cold winds of the world? When I feel lonely. You ever felt lonely? You can be lonely in a crowd. Have you ever felt like you didn't know what to do? Well, sure we have. Been there many times. But you know there's still one that you can reach to. Thank God there's one. And I wanted us to notice the magnitude of this God. Yet though He inhabits the eternity, who art man that thou art mindful of Him? And yet in all this greatness, He is willing enough to look down on every one of us. And this is the God that Paul is trying to say to these Grecians here. This is what I want, the unknown, what you are trying to make sure that you don't deny or that you don't disrespect. This is the one I'm telling you about. A great God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And this is important to us tonight. Because God don't need, I don't know how to hardly say this except for this, God don't really need our help. Oh, and how many times we want to help God. Lord, You come on along and I'll help You out with this. How many times we get the mindset in our own life, Lord, I want You in my life, but I'm going to tell You how I want things to be in my life. Remember the guy that was talking about the prayer that was prayed? He was praying about his wife to be, and he said something about, Lord, I want You to choose my wife, and I want You to choose Jane. Lord, I'm going to help You out here with this. But this Scripture is saying, and it goes beyond just that, what He was really talking about is, can you imagine now the foolishness that He's trying to get these people to understand? The foolishness of us thinking the difference between the God that we know and recognize, to think of these guys, people that thought they was a God, and so they needed workmen. They needed the artificers, the people that could work in brass and silver and iron. They needed their workmanship to go get a tree or go get something, carve it, and then overlay it with gold and do all this to make that. And Paul was refuting that in their intelligence. What kind of a God would need a man to make Him? Or to make an image like Him. How foolish would that be for anything with power and authority to call on the feebleness of man to make something for Him? God don't need our hands and our work. God has made it till you and I have the privilege, the absolute privilege, without being, thank God, I don't have to be the smart, I don't have to be an Einstein, I don't have to be smart, I don't have to be able to figure out the algebra problems, and I don't have to be smart to be able to come to God. All I have to do is be willing to reach, to recognize that I'm cold, Lord. I'm hungry. I'm needy. I have places in my life I don't understand. I don't know how to do it. And I reach for God. That's what he's trying to get them to do here. God don't need all that from you. I think he said to Job in one place, if I was hungry, would I ask you for food? Now, Job, come on. If I was hungry, would I ask you for food? No, I wouldn't. Then where was you, Job, when I created all this? And where was you when I put the whales in the deep of the sea? And where was you? Oh, it humbles us now to realize, surely, he don't need my intelligence. He don't need me to give a false testimony for him. He's God. All he needs is for, he don't need that. He gives it to us. Accessible. I'm so glad that he made himself open up to us. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And again, I think this is very important to us to realize. It's God. I don't know how you feel about it today, but this is still the truth. You're here today because of God. You woke this morning because God allows you to wake this morning. The air that you breathe is alone tonight. God, the strength that makes you to live tonight is a gift of God. It's God's. The very spirit in you, he claims. He claims the spark of your own life tonight. It's God's. He gave it to you. And this Paul was saying to them, don't you know that he giveth to all life and breath and all things? All things is of God. Do you know we can try and say that we can plant seeds. And we can expect the natural course of them growing and stuff. But do you know it was God that did all that? In his course, God was the one that made it all to happen like that. It's still God. It's still God. God gives us. Why do we say before we eat? That's a regular course. I'm going to tell you what I try to do every time I give thanks to God. I try with all my heart to really mean it. Do you really? When somebody says offer thanks, one of the first things I think is Lord, I ain't just saying this out of course. I'm really thankful for this. I really mean this. Lord, I sure appreciate that you do this for us, that you give this to us. Not everybody's got what we've got. I was talking to Brother Michael Smith last night, I think it was, he was here. I was asking him how his trip over there went, and he was telling me a little incident over there, and I was asking him some questions about things, and it was a little minute. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. Talking about a minute, it was a little ministers' meeting over there in Africa. It was about 60 ministers gathered around there. One of them had a real legitimate question. There was a scripture. I didn't recognize the scripture. Brother Michael quoted it. And it was talking about what you couldn't eat. And one of the things you can't eat was a mouse. You can't supposed to eat a mouse. And they was real concerned about that, eating a mouse thing, and said, do you think it's wrong to eat a mouse? Because 15 days out of the month, they eat mice. And Brother Michael ended up concluding and helped them out with it, that no, in our day and time, it's not wrong to eat a mouse and all that. And he concluded by saying, but just don't try to feed me one. But God gives all things. And you know what? When you partake of the blessings that we have, Lord, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we're not thankful. When was the last mouse you ate? It's probably been a while. If ever. Well, you know, I told him, I said, well, I'm old mountain boy. I've eaten squirrels all my life, and I like them. And they're a rodent. Under the skin, they're a lot like a mouse. But I'm thankful for that, too. God gives us all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. In other words, folks, I pondered this in my mind, and perhaps you have too. Why am I me? Now, I don't want to get off into the weird here, but I've had these thoughts. How come I'm not you and you're not me? And how come I was born when I was and how I was? And I've thought about those kind of things. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I've thought about it. Now, if my mom and dad hadn't have had me, would I have been me to somebody else? Have you ever thought of those kind? What, I'm me. I understand that, but I'm gonna tell you something about what the Scripture is saying to that, because there was always questions and things like that and all. And He was saying to them that you think because you're Greek that you have ascended to something of understanding and all that. What makes you what you are is because God determined you at that point in time. Well, you may look at some other race or person or something and say that you're better than they are, but Paul would differ with you. Because it was God that's appointed the times and purposes and seasons for people in their course and have made one of all people. And He's chosen your time. 2010, I'm here, 48 years old, born in 1962. This is the span of my time. God has chosen it. In that course, in that time, it's important for me to understand that, because this is really the message tonight. God is close to every one of us. He's not far off. You aren't by accident. You're by the hand of God. You say, "Well, I'm weak and I'm feeble," and you're chosen of God. I can't help from wondering what it would be like sometimes. I've known people that never had a chance like I have. In my lifetime, I have enjoyed God's creation. I just love to hike the mountains. I love it. I just love to see it. I have enjoyed the strength of my legs. I used to love, in my youth, I can't do it now, but I love to run. I still love to the motion. I love to do things and all that. Do you know there's people that was born without the use of their legs? And there is a soul inside that body that can't do what I can do. And I've wondered about this many, many times. My first wife had a first cousin. That was born that way. Never had the use. And at the family reunions, we'd go and we'd play softball games, and he would be right up there in his wheelchair or his braced up legs, and he'd be there, and it always seemed like he especially liked to see me play, and if I hit the ball a long ways, he would, and run those bases and stuff, he would be right there and all that, and go sliding into the base and diving for the ball and doing all that, and he'd have this look in his eye and all this, and Lord, I look at that sometimes. What would I do like that? Do you know that God is right there? I don't know why He chose for somebody something like that. I don't know. I can't answer all the questions, but I'll say this. There's something so much bigger than all of that. There is something that no matter what you find your life in, within your reach, so to speak, there is all the comfort, the warmth, the grace, the power to live life and be joyful and happy, to overcome. Sure, I can say I could get, if it was that way, I could get in a dispute with Brother Clifford over here and think that I need to overcome him and his will and all that. You know, I found that it's not really ever been another person that I had to conquer. I've always found the conquering was in the I needed to conquer me. I was the one that always needed to conquer my emotions and my feelings. And you know what I find? I can't. That's what I find. I can't. But in when those times, I noticed that just within the reach of me, always if I'll look to it, if I'll turn to it, if I'll go to it, always right there within my capability to get to it is a God with His arms open. That'll say, "I'll help you to overcome yourself." Yourself. I'll give you grace in the times of your life. There came a time before my first wife passed away that I come into a place that I honestly did not know what I could do. I was at the end of the rope. And I was telling the Lord that too. I went to the Lord and I was telling the Lord, "Lord, I have come to the end. If you don't help me, I don't know what the end of this could be because I'm to the end of my rope. My emotions can't take no more. My nerves can't take any more. I, Lord, can't take any more. I'm at the end. I'm at the end. And my cry, my heart was, Lord, save me from it. I'm wretched. I'm miserable. I can't do anything. And you know, my testimony is this. During that time, the saints was so good to us. We got so many encouraging cards. I had at one time, of course, we had went out by faith. We were full-time in the ministry at that point, and it was almost impossible for us to be out traveling and ministering. You know, at one given time, I had 58 checks to cash. I'm not great big, but I'm telling you, the saints' love was pouring out. And all that was appreciated immensely, but you know there was a place inside me that you guys couldn't get to? You loved me and tried. I know what you was doing. It was crazy. And I appreciated every bit of it, but you know there was a place inside me that you couldn't go. And if I did, and at times I would call someone and call someone and call someone. And they always was there and encouraging and always there were with you. But you know what the most valuable thing of it all was? Was the prayers. The reaching to God, because I come to a point and I told the Lord that. And I still remember where I was standing when it felt to me like the whole heaven, bottom end of heaven, opened up. And God's grace just poured over me in such a flood that I received of God the warmth and comfort and the ability to know that the future that was before me that looked so dark and bleak was in the hands of God. And I knew from that point that no matter what happened, I can make it. I can make it through. And not only make it through, but I can have peace in my heart. I can go on and be joyful. And it won't be the end of everything, but it's still a beginning. It's still a place in God. And this is what he's trying to tell the people on Mars Hill. He's the God of all things. He's of your place and your purpose and your time is made of God. And so you become invalided. I know it's hard, but it happens in life. Accidents happen and people become quadriplegic and paraplegics and these kind of things. And then it's hopeless and there's no use to go on and they lose faith and lose hope. But you don't have to. Because no matter what it is, there is something that overshadows it all. There's something bigger than it all. And it's the God that gives life and breath and yea, all things. That's right there close to all the time. We have a writer of much of our literature and maybe even some of our songs, I'm not sure. C.W. Naylor. That I believe the story was he got hit by a tent pole and become paralyzed. And my understanding of it is it took him quite a while wrestling with that. We only understand what he wrote after that, but he had quite a battle with the idea of being, he was a minister and he was somebody that went and done and all that. He's laying in bed, dying, paralyzed. But out of that, when he really got a hold of it, you know what came out of that? A lot of spiritual value. A lot of blessings that all these many years later we still read and appreciate. Because God was right there working with me. And you know, you ever hear of a guy named Bunyan? John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know he was in there around 13 years in prison? And he didn't write that till his 11th year in there. You all thought about that many, many times? He wrote other things, but he didn't write that classic. That people have been blessed with that writing. It was the number one seller in history other than the Bible. Most published book. He was in his 11th year before he wrote it. And I often thought it took God quite a while, didn't it? It took quite a while to finally work on his heart to get him to do that. Don't you suppose even in his place that maybe that there was a little bit of... And I just know it's speculation, so forgive me for it. But I wonder if he might have said, Lord, now I'm in here in jail, and I've been out preaching your word, and you got me locked up here in jail. Now, this don't make no sense to me. You know, this is valuable. Right at the foot of the bed, folks. Right at the foot of the bed is all that you ever need. Right there, within reach, is the power of God. is everything that you and I need. God's understanding is greater than our understanding. I have endeavored by the Lord's help to try to minister a little bit. And I feel weak and incapable. And most of the time when I sat down, I wish I'd have said things and I never did get to say. And most of the time I want to go dig a hole and pull it in on myself after I'm through. And it's the way it goes. But you know what? The blessing comes on most of when God uses it the most, when He can get me the most out of it. And most of the time when the Lord comes and really shakes my world and my life and things around me, makes me feel like I can't do anything and I trust the Lord anyway, then something happens that I have to obviously have to say, it's not me. It's not me. I was the one that was ready to run. I didn't want to do it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't have any words. I didn't have any thought. And I stood up by faith in the Lord and He pours it out. He pours it out. That's a God. That's not an idol. That's a God. And you may say, I don't know how to answer. I don't know how to answer my family if they have questions. You know what the best thing I can say to you? Is reach for that God. Because it isn't by intelligence and all those things, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we get our help. God's able to help us in all these things. It says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from every one of us. And the idea here to feel after, to reach for, and all those, is the allusion to a blind person that can't see where to reach, and they're trying to feel for something. And do you know this is trying to tell us that God is so close to us that even a groping blind man could find Him. He makes Himself so close and so available that when you don't even know what you're reaching for, you don't know what answer you're trying to get from God. You ever been in that place? That I don't even know what to pray. I've been there many times. Somebody say, we need to pray for this. And I say, I don't know what to pray for. But I just pray, Lord, You work in it. Reaching for God. God, work, have Your way in it. And He says that happily they may feel after Him, you may reach for Him, that you might look for God, because He isn't hiding Himself from you. It's our heart. It's our heart. Just close. Around every one of us. I'm going to tell you tonight, you have a problem. Something that touches your life. The solution to it is within your reach. It's there. Now, for me to say what that is, or for any human to say exactly what God will do, we don't know. But I'm going to tell you, the answer is right there. I have had some difficulties, the normal course of difficulties that you can have around in neighbors. I think somebody put in a prayer request into that. Well, I'm going to encourage you, if you've had that problems, that I have too. And there is a part that needs, it's that old Marty thing. I know there was a certain part of me that said, I've been done wrong. How dare them? I'm just wanting to be good. I have this thing about it. I just like everybody to like me, and I like them. You got good relationships, and everything goes good, and that's the way I want everything. Unfortunately, that's not life. Life such that it is, all of a sudden, there's people mad at you, and you didn't do anything. And then what do? You reach for God. You reach for God. I had trouble with one of my neighbors. And after the trouble, I endeavored that I'd wave at him and he'd get mad. He'd have a mad look on his face and wouldn't wave back. And this went on for a while. And then something started happening. I just kept in there. And right from the start when it happened, my wife said, we'll pray for him. And you know when she said that, it kind of startled me. I hate to say it, but I didn't think of that just right off. She said, well, we'll pray for him. And I said, that's right. Yes, we'll pray for him. We started praying for him. It's a regular course of our prayers. Praying for him regularly. You know, you don't really know people very well. This man, my neighbor, drinks quite a bit. Had a lot of trouble in his life. my family and I, we were over there painting my house. We was a painting, and my two girls was especially involved in it. Sarah, she had this little roller, and she was really rolling and up on the ladders, and we was doing all this, and we was moving stuff around. And to be honest with you, we was having kind of a good time, or at least I'd say that. I don't know if they were, but we was a family, and we was out there. You know, just a little bit, this fella comes over and says, hey, listen, you need help moving that ladder? And I said, no, I think we can get the ladder. And said, well, I'll help you move the ladder. And he said, I noticed, but you need an extension for that roller. And said, I got a great big long extension. And he was just being real friendly. And I almost wanted to find something for him to do just because he wanted to do it. And you know, well, if I need to, when I get ready to move the ladder, I'll holler and you can help me move the ladder and this and that. And then he stopped in the course of our conversation and said, I was watching you all. He said, that's the way a family ought to be. I don't know. I didn't know nothing about his family at the time. And then a little bit later, I started finding out about how his family was broke up and he hadn't seen his son, all these different things that was in his life. And he looked over there and he just saw a family over there enjoying and working and getting together. And it touched his heart. And you know, we've been really, really close ever since that. He'll still get good and drunk sometimes and slip up and say a word or two that he'll have to say, oh, sorry about that, Marty, or something like that. But you know, I look out there sometimes, a big snowstorm going on, I'll look out there and he'd be plowing my driveway with his four-wheeler. And there, you ask him, he'd just come over and do it. I could borrow you anything. He told me at one point, he said, anything you need, you ask me. And he said, if we don't have it, we can get it. If we can't get it, I'll make it, he said. We'll whatever you want, I'm going to tell you. If Marty Clevenger would have took his course, there'd have been a line through out there in the middle of the road. But God took his course, and I'm so glad that he did. And then we have neighbors on the other side that some things happened, and in the due course of it, we have the best friendship and stuff going now. It's something that God's in, and I sense it and see it. God was right there all the time. You know, I look at many things back in my life and thought, Lord, I'm just sorry that I didn't have you there to help me out with that thing. If I'd have had you there to do this instead of me, it would have been such a good thing. But that's what the Lord's able to do for us. That they should seek the Lord. That is so important tonight in our lives. God is there. Isaiah, let's go ahead and get that. Isaiah 55, I think it is. It's a familiar scripture. 55 and 6, isn't it? It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. That's an invitation. But don't you know that that's not an invitation that will stay forever? Because the language is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I think in the normal course of most people's life that God is there. I think that this mainly is talking about that there'll be a time at the end that you can't seek God. Seek him while he's near. God is near and he's close and God is available. Here, right here in 2010, God's able to help you and I to change our lives that need changed. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Call upon him while he's near. You feel the cold winds of the world. You feel yourself cooling off spiritually. You feel like you're losing ground with God. You feel like your relationships are tearing up. You feel like you haven't got the power and the strength to overcome the things of the world. I don't feel all that bad. I mean, guilt will be there, I suppose. But know this. God loves you tonight and is calling on you. God's there close enough. Seek the Lord. There's an opportunity there. No matter what's happened, no matter where place you had. Oh, it's just a battle. I don't look at it. A lot of people look at it in the wrong way. I want to tell you what I look at if somebody tells me about their problems. You know what I feel like? Yeah, it's a battle, ain't it? It's a battle, ain't it? I had a guy I knew. He's married one of my cousins, and I knew that he had gotten saved at one point, and we had talked about the Lord, and I hadn't seen him in several years, and he come walking into this restaurant, and I seen him. He come over there, and I talked to him a little bit, and I ended up asking him. I said, "Well, Brandon, you still saved?" He kind of dropped his head a little bit, and he said, "Yeah." Yeah, I am. But he said, Marty, I ain't going to lie to you. it's hard. He said, I've had a hard time. And I said, Brant, it can be a battle. It can be a battle. And when you find yourself short of it, don't just leave. Don't just quit. That's the time to seek the Lord. We all understand it. We all understand it. I've been in the place too. I've been in a place that I've had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just sorry that I ever done that. I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy on me. Over and over, I have depended on His love. I have went to the Lord so many times and said, Lord, I know You love me. It's the anchor to my soul tonight. I know He's there and that He loves me. That anchors me. That keeps me. I know that no matter what, the Lord loves me. It doesn't give me a license to do wrong. I don't want to. But it gives me a place to always go back and say, Lord, help me in this place because You love me. And we'll look at one more scripture. Matthew 11. And 28. This is an invitation. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's a candidate here for going to the Lord, it sounds like. Oh, I suppose anybody can call on the name of the Lord in a sense of voice. But there's a qualification here in this scripture. It says, all ye that are heavy laden. It's all those that feel a need. For everyone that feels a need, it don't have to measure up to the worst things in the world. All it's got to measure up to is a need in your life. If you feel a heaviness, heavy burden in your life, a need, a place that's a downfall to you, a place that hurts you, a place that you can't get over, you're a candidate to be able to fulfill this scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor. If you're laboring tonight, there is a place that you can go to the Lord. If you labor, if you struggle, if you fight, if you can say, amen, you, Brother Marty, when you said it's a battle. I found it to be a battle. People talk of victory, and there is victory. And talk about being triumphant, there is. After you fight the battle. It's the course of things. You get victory when you fight something. You got to go through something. Jesus got the victory in the garden, didn't He? He also sweated drops like great drops of blood. So, there was a battle. And then He won the battle. For all those that labor and are heavy laden. He said, come unto me, all. And what did He say He would do? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know. There's different understandings. I've read different things about this certain passage. But this is the idea that I get out of it. You're yoked up with the Lord. You don't have to pull it yourself. You don't have to carry your own load. The Lord's there to help us to carry it. He's helped us to be able to deal with our neighbors, friends. This is the big one, with myself. With myself. When the things that comes on and I see in me a quality that isn't going to end in a good place, there is the Lord, yoked up and ready to help me to be able to go through that to be successful in this life. I'm so glad tonight that the Lord's there for us. Now, I just want to encourage everyone here. I felt like the Lord laid this little message from the Lord. I think it's for someone. That right there within your reach is more power and glory than you could ever know. There is more ability for you to be victorious in this life than you will ever understand. And it's right there to be groped for. If you don't understand anything or know anything except for that you have a need, and all you got to do is try to grope for something that you don't even understand, do you know that if you grope for it, the Lord has said, I'm near enough to you that you'll touch me when you do. If I'll only reach from my heart. And there is one other scripture that comes to mind. It's in Jeremiah 29, I think. But it says something to the effect that when you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you. When you seek with all your heart, when your heart cries out, Lord, help me, give me the answers. I remember many, many times being nearly in despair of life and things around me, and sometimes just plain discouraged. You ever been discouraged? And just have this thought drop into me. There's God. And I'd get a hold of it. Yes. And then there's God. And I'd go find me a place of prayer. And I'm not talking about just saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about just opening up to God. Just opening up. And I'll tell you what. My testimony is I have never went to God that way and come up the way I went down. Never. I've always come up knowing that God met me there. The Lord's very close to every one of us. Amen.